Are you bound for the promised land this morning? I'm bound for the promised land. I don't know about you, but that's the only thing that keeps me going in this broken world. So my hope and my prayer, our hope and our prayer here today is that you will come and that you will go with us to the promised land. Amen? And so that's why we're going to continue. We're going to stay in this place. We're going to continue to study through God's Word, because just as we learned a couple weeks ago, God's Word is what? It is God's will. We had somebody listening. So God's Word is God's will. What we're supposed to do in life is all in the Bible. And what God wants us to do, what He has for our life, is all here in the Bible. We've been going through Ephesians, and we're going to continue to go through our study of this book this morning. And you're welcome ahead of time, because I was going to go through 9 verses. And the more I went through this week, I just could not get it. I've gotten to the point finally where I can kind of notice in my notes and in my study how long it's going to be. And I got to like the 30-minute mark, and I was only halfway through those 9 verses. And I told Jenny, I said, this just ain't going to work. So I had to back up. And so we're going to talk about children and their parents. And we're going to talk about parents and children, that relationship. If you remember, last time we talked about husbands and wives. So today we're going to talk about children. So if you want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, we're just going to go through verse 1 and 4. Last time we were together, we saw where Paul was laying out his plan for the design that he put together for God's family, for the Christian home. He told us that the husband and the wife are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Then he said, this means, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. See, like we talked about, a lot of times we like to leave that out of there. The world says, oh, submit to your husbands. That just sounds dirty. That sounds awful. He says, as to the Lord. Husbands, and we are to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. We are to give ourselves completely to our wives just as Christ gave himself. Wives must respect their husbands. See, we talked about how God designed the husband to be the head of the family. This is his design, not man's. But the partnership between the husband and wife should look like the partnership between Jesus Christ and the church. Are y'all following with me this morning? When people see me and Jenny together, when my children see me and Jenny together, they should see a representation of Christ and the church. If that doesn't challenge me as a husband, I don't know what will. Today we're going to see where Paul, he's expanding from the husband and wife, and he's talking about the relationship between me and my children, between you and your children, maybe between you and your parents. So let's see what Paul has to say. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Children and parents. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. That's a lot of stuff packed right in those 4 little verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started going through it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again. Lord, and we thank you that we are able to come before a holy God. Lord, that you hear our concerns. Lord, that you are here to lift us up, that you're here to strengthen us, that you care for us. Lord, that your promise and your word tells us, Lord, that you designed each one of us. You knit us together in our mother's womb, Lord, and we can't fathom how a God can be so great that he will know all the little parts of all of our bodies, that you will know the number of hairs that we actually have on our head. Lord, it just proves, Lord, that your ways are higher than ours. Lord, as we go through and we continue to go through your word, Lord, we just pray today, Lord, that you will help us bring it to light, bring it to the surface, and help us to relate it to our life. Lord, so our family unit, so our everyday walk can be more fitting and more pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you, Lord. And just like always, Lord, I just ask you this morning, God, if there's somebody here that does not know the gift, has never experienced the gift, and never accepted the free gift of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Lord, I just pray that today that your Holy Spirit would be heavy upon them so they could also say, I'm headed to the promised land. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we praise you. Be with us as we go through these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start at verse 1. Let's just go right through it like we always do. Children, obey your parents. Boy, I don't know how many times that needs to be said in my house. This morning, it needed to be said in my house. I came for Kaya breakfast early this morning, stumbled in late myself. But I told Grace, I'm throwing you on the bus here. I told her, I said, before, it's part of being a pastor's kid, but before I get back, you need to be ready so we can go. As I get home, and she's still with her mouth open, sleeping in the bed, her hair all over the place. And so Graham and Poppy had to pick her up on the way through. Children, obey your parents. And I love what he says. He says, because you belong to the Lord. See, that's the one thing that I had to get through my mind. My Uncle Perry that we had here at Revival told me one time. He said, Anthony, you have to understand those children are not yours. They're the Lord's. He just lets you be their parent. Because I used to worry, what if God calls us somewhere? What if God calls us to live in Africa? What about my kids and all this stuff? And he said, the kids aren't yours anyways. They're the Lord's. See, the children belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. See, that should be the end of the sermon right there. But mommy, why? Why, mommy? Daddy, well, I don't want to do that, Dad. Because I said so. Have y'all ever said that? Is anybody else? You don't need to know why. It's because I said so. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, it's the right thing to do. It simply is the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents. Parents and children, God's word is very clear when it comes to obedience. Just in verse 1, we see where Paul gives us two reasons to be obedient. Number one, he says, because you belong to the Lord. We just talked about that. As to the Lord, just like the husband and wife, just like we're talking about the wife submitting to the husband, as to the Lord. So everything that you do should be doing it as you are doing it for the Lord. We are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. It simply pleases God when the Christian family that he designed runs the way that he designed it to run. Children, if you fear the Lord, if you have reverence and fear for the Lord, it will be so much easier for you to fear and respect your parents. Mighty quiet on that one. Here's a way that it should all work together. This is the way that the family, the Christian family, should all work together. We've gone through it, and we're going to continue to go through it today. The wife submits as to the Lord, to her husband. The husband loves his wife like Christ loves the church. And the children obey the both of them out of reverence to Christ. Does that make sense? It just would flow so much better if our children and our family unit ran this way all the time. The second thing that Paul says is children should obey because it simply is the right thing to do. Since the parents brought the children into the world, they automatically have more knowledge, they have more wisdom than that child. Therefore, they have the right, and it makes sense for them to bring the child up and for them to be obedient to their parent. Right? That makes sense. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. You ever heard that? I've said that before. I never really raised my hand like that. I wouldn't do that. But there's some truth in that. Because guess what? While your parents take care of you and while they're there to love on you, they also have the right, children, on your 18th birthday to kick your butt out of the house. And so if you don't want to listen, they have that right to do that. Because guess what? They brought you into the world and they've been taking care of you and they have the right to discipline you. See, this is something that has been forgotten in most homes, especially in America today. We would go to Africa and the children would sit through the church service. I'm talking about 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds would sit there perfectly on a little wooden bench. It wasn't padded. It was like it was a 2x4 in the ground, a 2x4 in the ground, and a 2x4 across it. And this is their church pew. And the children would sit there and not move. They would listen. And all it would take, it wouldn't even have to be one of the parents. The pastor could look down and just, and that kid would shape up because they still have that old school way of disciplining their children. Most parents live today under this rule. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy. I'm telling you the truth. This is what's wrong with society. And if this fails, go buy them whatever they want and bring it home for them. This will keep them happy and make sure that doesn't happen again. See, that's not the way that God designed it. This God designed it in his structure, like we talked about, in his family unit to design it and to work it the way that it's supposed to work. Not only for the family, but also for the culture and for his creation. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. Paul says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life here on the earth. See, here Paul is given two more reasons, the third and the fourth reason that a child is to obey their parent. So number three is simply obedience is a command from God. It is straight up a command from him. See, Paul is quoting the fifth commandment. The fifth, number five out of ten commandments is this: honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land that the Lord God is giving you. We've heard that before, right? See, this is an area that I wish I could undo in my past. I remember growing up, especially when I got into my teenage years, and I remember I started thinking I was a man. I was smarter than my dad. Everything he said was the dumbest idea ever, and I had a better way of doing it. And that's natural. I think that's a way of our getting used to, you know, getting ourselves ready to get out of the nest, okay? But I can remember teasing my dad and making fun of him and everything he did when my friends were there, especially. We'd be out even splitting wood or hunting, and he just could not do anything without me being critical of it and putting him down. And I remember now looking back, now that my kids are starting to make fun of me, even though I know it's out of good fun, and sometimes they, you know, that's just the way it cycles, sometimes it hurts. Because you know how much you've given to that child. You know how much you would give to that child. You know how much you have sacrificed for your children. And you want them to honor you and respect you. And I remember specifically when I was about 21, 22 years old, I thought I owned the world. I had a police car with the cool lights on top of it. I had a uniform and I had all this authority. I thought I had it all figured out. And I came and me and another friend of mine were hanging out in my garage one night and we were drinking beer. Just hanging around doing nothing on my day off. I should have been spending time with my wife, but instead I was out in the garage with my buddy and we're drinking beer and we had this like pyramid going, you know, the cans, you know, stacks up. And I remember just leaving it on the workbench in my shop. And my dad comes by the next day and I just forgot about it. See, I was living two lives. I was, you know, doing one thing and trying to keep a secret with the other. And so my dad comes by, which, by the way, I was raised in a house that we didn't consume alcohol. I never saw my parents getting drunk or drinking. They just didn't believe in it. And they always taught me, you don't need that. And so my dad comes in my garage and he came over to help me do, you know, stack some wood or something like that. And we go in my shop to get something. I raise the garage door and he steps back. He says, "Man, son," he said, "who's been drinking all that beer?" And I was just so cocky, I was just so offended that he had the right to ask. I said, "I have." And he said, "Oh, well, I mean, you know, you're an adult." And I said, "I know I am. It's my place, and I'm going to do what I want to do." And I just was so cocky about it, and I saw the disappointment in his face. And I saw that hurt that he had deep down, because, see, I wasn't honoring him with the way that I was living. That's not the way that he raised me up. And I had brought dishonor upon him by the way that I was acting. So he's thinking to himself, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong where he's doing that and I didn't teach him that? Does that make sense? You see, honoring your parents means more than just obeying them, children. This means you show respect to them, you love them. Even when they grow old and they're bugging the heck out of you because they need you to come over and do this and do that. You do what they need for them and you go and you take care of them. You honor them and you respect them. It means that you honor them by the way that you live, just like me. I am to honor my father. This isn't something that, Blake, guess what? You're stuck with this for your entire life. You'll always be my child, and that's the way it works. So no matter how old you are, as long as you are alive, you are to live your life in a way that is honoring to your parents. Remember, this is a command from God. The fourth reason that we are to obey is this. And it's the promise that Paul was talking about. Obedience brings blessings. See, if we go back to the fifth commandment, we see there is a promise attached to it. Listen, Exodus 20:12. You can also find this in Deuteronomy. Exodus 20:12 says this: honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land that the Lord is giving you. Do you hear the promise on the backside of that? See, the original promise was applied to the Jews as they entered into Canaan. But Paul, what he does is he takes it and he shows us that these promises are for us too. He applies it to us today. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody who's ever died a tragic young death, or they died before they reached a ripe old age, that they died because they dishonored their parents in some way. Paul is simply stating the fact that children obey their parents, and when they do obey their parents, they are much more likely to avoid sin and to avoid these things that are going to harm them in life. When we obey our parents, we're more likely to stay away from things that aren't good for us. See, the same principle applies to me as a parent, to you as a parent, as we strive to obey the Lord. The same principle applies to us as the United States of America. See, if we really wanted to honor God with the country, we would obey His word. And that's simply the truth. See, sin always robs us. Our obedience is what we're supposed to do. But what we do is we say, I don't want that. I want to try this on my own. I know that stove is hot, but I want to touch it. I know I'm not supposed to eat those chocolate chip cookies, but man, they smell good. That's what sin does. It robs us. It pulls us away from what God has for us, while obedience always enriches us. So children, if you really want to honor your parents, you will obey them. Are you listening, Grace and Blake? Taking notes right now would be great. In doing this, you will also be honoring the Lord. So children, if you want to know how to honor the Lord and how to please the Lord, obey your parents. Simple as that. Next, in verse 4, we see that Paul is turning the attention back to us as fathers again. He says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord." See, Paul addresses the fathers here, but the word of God applies to us all. So whether you're raising your children with both the father and the mother in the home, maybe the home is separated, maybe you're a single mom, maybe you're a single dad, maybe you're a grandparent who is helping to raise your children, your grandchildren, whatever the situation is today, don't tune out on me, because this can apply to all of us. Even though it's directed to the fathers, we can all benefit from these verses. See, the first thing that he tells us is that we must not provoke our children. See, in Paul's day, the father literally had supreme authority over the family. And it's still like this in some of the third world countries. We've kind of evolved into a different type of home around in the United States. But in other countries, it is still this way. The father is the supreme over the family. In Paul's day, when he was writing this to the church in Ephesus, I was reading it this week, that the father, when the newborn baby was born, he would sit down and he would sit there and they would present the baby to him. So this newborn baby, and they would lay it down in front of him, in front of the father. And if the father picked up the baby and embraced it, then it meant that he accepted that child into his home. But if he just left it laying on the table, he was saying he didn't want that child in his home. He had that kind of authority in his own home. And so oftentimes that child would either be given away or just left and abandoned to die. You see, Paul was telling them not to use their authority to abuse their children. See, the father's love literally had the power to save a child's life. See, we are to love our children by the way that we treat them, by the way that we provide for them, by the way that we accept them as our child. Colossians 3:21, Paul tells us that if we provoke our children, they will actually become discouraged. That makes sense, right? If you're going to provoke them into anger, they're going to become discouraged. So the opposite of provoking your children is encouraging them. You encourage them. So you say, how do I encourage them? Well, you encourage them by listening to them. I'm guilty of this. There's so many times my children will be telling me something. Even Jenny, sometimes I get in trouble over this one. Jenny will be telling me something, but I'm totally thinking about something else. Because maybe I'm not interested in what it is, or maybe because I'm thinking about my sermon, or I'm thinking about all the things I want to get. I'm heading out the door, and one of them says, "Hey, Dad, let me tell you this." And I'm like, "Make it quick." See, we are to spend time and listen to them, encourage them, by not showing favoritism between the children, by being fair and consistent in our punishment and our treatment with our children, by not making light of their problems. I remember when we were in youth ministry, I remember vividly that we had an altar call at the end of one of the services, and one of the youth members comes up and they're bawling, crying, "I need prayer," trembling. And so me and Jenny hover around this young person and we're praying with them. I said, "What's going on? Tell us what's going on." And they said, "I haven't got an invite to the prom." And the first thing I did, I went, I thought somebody died. I thought you had cancer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of making light of it in my mind. And so we got home and I said, "Man, these kids are just so dramatic." I was like, "You know, whatever." And Jenny brought this up to me and I never really thought about it. She said, "Anthony, you got to think about it. In this point of their life, this is the most important thing that they have. This is their whole world." And it really made me think about that. It's like, you know, I shouldn't make light of their struggles and their problems, because to this point in their life, this is the most important thing to them. Does that make sense? And so when our children come to us with problems, we got to be careful not to make light of them. We have to put ourselves back in their position and say, "Man, I remember that time when the other kids were doing this and I couldn't do that. I need to listen to my children and comfort them." See, parents, we need to be full of the Spirit so we can be sensitive to our children's needs. The next thing that Paul addresses is that to bring our children up with the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is where we're definitely going to be need to be full of the Spirit. Does anybody here remember a loved one, maybe an authority person over your life, going out to a tree and breaking off a, what is it called?
Switch.
A switch. Does anybody here remember that? Does anybody here remember the sound of that thing flying through the air, cutting the moisture in the air, like shwack, hitting the back of your leg? Does anybody remember that? I remember that. My dad had a big cowboy belt that he used on me. I guess the switch wasn't good enough. And it was this, yeah, fly swatter, that works well too. But he had this belt that was like this wide. And to make it even worse, he would make me go get it out of his closet. I'd get in trouble. He'd say, go get the belt. And he'd be reading a book or something. He'd go get the belt. And I had to go in there and get, nothing will humble you more than going and getting your weapon that's getting ready to execute you, you know? See, in my opinion, the lack of discipline in the homes, in the schools, is a huge, huge, huge problem with our culture. The modern world tells us that discipline your child, they'll warp their minds. It'll mess up their character. It'll bring shame on them and all these things. It'll mess them up. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, as your pastor, I don't believe it for 1 minute. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Hebrews 12:6 says this, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." See, if we love our children, we should raise them up to understand what authority is. We should raise them up to understand what consequences of their actions are. What does the word consequence mean? I'm thankful that my parents had that tough love with me, even though it didn't always work. But it paid off later. It's still paying off sometimes. But it's paying off because you know what? When I got caught misbehaving, I was disciplined. Notice when I said when I got caught. All right. When I got caught misbehaving, I was disciplined. When I got caught and got in trouble at school, you know, and I came home and I told my parents, trying to feed them my side of the story. Oh, well, I wasn't doing anything or whatever. They'd say, good luck in detention. That's what they would say. Good luck. You know, while you're off for 3 days for getting in a fight at school, guess what? You're going to be cleaning the stalls, or you're going to be running the weed eater, or whatever dad had lined up for me. When I got my first speeding ticket, I remember my dad very plainly. I called him wanting to get sympathy. I said, I just got a ticket, Dad. And he said, all right, go home. Hurry up and get you another job. He said, because I ain't paying your insurance no more. And I remember being like, what a jerk. You know what I mean? And I was like, I wanted some sympathy from him. And he said, good luck. But guess what? I had to go get a job. And I had to learn the consequences of me not obeying the law led me to have to pay for my own insurance. See, Proverbs 13:24 says this. This is a familiar one, especially in the King James Version. But the NLT says this, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. That's some strong words. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. See, even if it takes years for them to appreciate it like it was with me, your children will know that you love them by the way that you discipline them. And I know that sounds weird. Remember your mom or dad just spanking you and say, I hate to do this, while they're like, you know, whack, you know, wearing you rather like, I really hate this. And you're like, well, then why are you doing it? But see, later you'll learn to appreciate it. Because you'll understand that your children, you understand that your parents had enough love for you to do something. They don't want to, nobody wants to spank their kid. I don't want to hit my kids. But guess what? If that's what it takes to keep them in line, that's what we're going to do. Now, each parent has to be guided by their own. I'm not trying to tell you that you should go home and spank your kids. That's up to you. There was a cartoon ad that was published in the paper shortly after the Supreme Court handed down the ruling where prayer couldn't be in school anymore. I was reading, I saw this week, and it was a picture of a father in the paper right after this had happened. I don't know when that was, but he had his newspaper folded up, and he had just finished reading it. And it was one of those little, you know, cartoons with little bubbles that you see in the newspaper. And he had his hand up in the air like this, and he said, you know, he said, this just makes me mad. He said, what are we supposed to do now? Listen to our kids pray at home? And it was like a sarcastic little thing there, but there's some truth in that. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. You see, we should be spending time teaching our child and teaching our children the Word of God. We should be spending time praying at home with their children. It's time that us as parents stop passing the buck to the Sunday school teachers and the preachers and the VBS workers and whoever teaches the children's message. Which, by the way, the children's message today was awesome. It was so good. I needed to hear that. See, parents, 99.9% of all the biblical instruction that your child should receive should come from you. 99.9% of all the biblical instruction that my children ever get in their life should come from me and Jenny. How often do we spend time investing in our family with Bible study? I'm preaching to myself. How often do we spend time as a family praying together? I'm not talking about, Lord, thank you for these meatballs and spaghetti and, you know, thank you for this beautiful day. I'm talking about spending time in the presence of God as a family, devoting an hour, 30 minutes or 20 minutes to pray and just coming into the presence of God, lifting up our worries, lifting up our concerns, giving our thanks to the Lord, not just before we fall asleep, but as a family. Just like Paul told us back in chapter 5, we are to take advantage of the time that we have with our children. We must make the most of every opportunity that we have in these evil days. We must give the instruction to our children that comes from the Lord, from His Word. And the instruction from the Lord comes directly from the Bible. See, we're living in a time here in America where the country is reaping the consequences of not listening to the instructions from the Lord. That's exactly what's happening in our country. It's happened little by little by little by little. And the old devil's just grinning the whole time. Because we're reaping the consequences of not listening to the instructions of the Lord. Boys think they're supposed to be girls. Girls thinking they're supposed to be boys. A world that where people rejoice when they celebrate. And they celebrate over a law that makes it legal for you to kill an unborn child. If that doesn't have the evilness of the devil himself written all over it, I don't know what does. We are under attack. Unfortunately, the list goes on and on and on. These are just the ones you see in the news that's popular right now. Parents, fathers, it is the most important thing that we can do as a parent, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, to teach our children the truth. The world is feeding them a bunch of lies. Every day they walk in the door. The curriculum in the public school is teaching them lies. And I feel so sorry for the Christian teachers that have to stand there and endure this stuff. We must teach them the truth. That's what Jesus said. I am the truth. God doesn't lie. I am the truth. That's what we teach them. And you teach them. You say, you know what? You honor and you respect the teachers and what they're teaching and everything, but you don't have to believe that. You know what I mean? You don't have to believe that part of the curriculum. Take them to Psalm 139. Remind them, you know what? You were made. You were put together in your mother's womb. You were designed. God had a design for you, and He made you perfect the way that you are. Don't listen to those little boys. Don't listen to those other kids that tell you that you should have been a boy or you should have been a girl or whatever. God made you a boy. God made you a girl. Take them to John 3:16. God loves you just the way you are. He accepts you. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And guess what? He loves you and accepts you as your child and forgives you of everything you've ever done. They need to hear that from the parent. Take them to Genesis where God created a man and a woman. Take them to the promises of God in the Word of God. See, we must teach our children to fear the Lord by how we fear the Lord. So we should, just like we talked about on Father's Day, I should lead my family by how well I am a follower of Christ. So in closing, I want to share something that I read yesterday from Our Daily Bread Ministries. And some of you, I know y'all read this, you may have read this. And I don't know if it was the one actually for yesterday, but oddly enough, a Christian brother of mine sent this to me, just said this was a good read. He had no idea what I was preaching on today. And this is what it was talking about, children obeying their parents. And I almost didn't open it up because I was tightening up my sermon and I was studying, doing some last minute stuff yesterday morning. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'm supposed to read this. And I'm so glad I opened it up. Let me read you just one little part of what it said. Following God's wise instruction allows us to escape the consequences that come from choices we later wish we could undo. If I would have just honored and just respected my parents, all that shame and all that guilt that I sometimes carry around saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that to my dad. I wish I wouldn't have treated my mom like that or my dad. I wish I wouldn't have treated that person. I wish I wouldn't have done this. Or I wish I wouldn't have done that. If I would have obeyed my parents and simply listened to what they told me, I wouldn't have to all those times that I wish I could go back and undo. It goes on to say this, without the weight of guilt or pain, we are actually freer to enjoy our lives. God doesn't want to control us with a bunch of do's and don'ts. Rather, His guidelines show us that He loves us. They were referring to Psalm 119, 44, and 45, where it says this: I will keep on obeying your instructions. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. See, just like we talked about in the marriage, everybody in the world likes to call it a ball and a chain. Oh man, you better party it up before that, because you're getting ready, your life's over, you're getting married. That's what the world tells us. But if we live in our marriage like God designed it, we talked about that, it's freedom in that. And you're in unity, and you're in, and that's when you really truly find your best friend in your spouse. The same is with the parent and the child. If my children honor me and they respect me, our relationship is going to be so much better, because I'm not going to be spanking them all day. They're going to mess up. That's fine. But you know what? For the most part, if I would have honored and respected my father and mother, my life would have been so much freer. Man, I could have been driving around so much more instead of riding a school bus. See, when we learn to fear the Lord out of reverence and love, we find the great peace and joy in obeying His commands. The same is true with the children and the parents. Our children will respect us, and eventually they will learn to love, and they will eventually learn that we love them because we had those rules in place to protect them. But once again, we must always look to God and His instructions. When we mess up and we fall short, guess what? I mess up and I fall short all the time. Not only in my parenting, but it may be in something I say, something I do, something I fall short in during the week. Guess what? God is always there when I hit my knees and ask for forgiveness to take me back in, isn't He? See, when our children go astray, we should always be there ready to forgive them, ready to restore them, just like God does with us, and just like hopefully our parents did. And you know what? Maybe you didn't have parents that were forgiving and restoring. Maybe, you know what? But you have a Heavenly Father that is perfect. I like that song, Good, Good Father. You are a good, good Father, perfect in all of your ways. I'm going to mess up, and I'm going to mess up. I hope my kids aren't the, you know, I hope I didn't like totally mess them up, all right, by all the things that I do wrong. But all we can do is strive to do the best that we can as parents. When we fall short, we go to the Lord. When our children fall short and they come and they ask for forgiveness, we restore them and we forgive them. I want to encourage you today, if you're here this morning, maybe you've never experienced, maybe you've been that child running from the Lord, running from your Heavenly Father. You've been disobedient to His commands. Maybe you know you've been walking through life and you're like, you know what, I don't need all that. I can try my own way. And time after time, you keep failing. You keep touching the hot wood stove and it keep getting burned. I'm telling you that your Heavenly Father is here waiting for you this morning to take you in and just say, just like the Father sitting on the seat, I accept you. I love you. You're welcome in my home. That's what the Lord wants to do. But we have to be obedient to His call, and we have to be obedient to His commands and to His instruction, His guidelines, what He wants for our life. Because guess what? It's all there to protect us. It's not there to keep us bound down by the law. That's not what it's all about. It's to show us the holiness of God and what He has for us and what He wants for us. Are y'all with me this morning? Maybe you're here this morning while we're singing this last song, and maybe you've got a child that's gone wayward, that's left, that prodigal son that's left, and you're worried about him. Spend this time and pray for him. Maybe you want to come to the altar and you want to pray for him. Maybe you are a child and you wish that you never asked for forgiveness for the things that you've done. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I just want to, even though we're talking about specifically the parent and the child, God is moving this morning. Don't leave here today without getting your life right with Him. Because I'm going to tell you right, I'm headed to the promised land. And I want you to go with me. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, maybe you need prayer, maybe you want to join the church. Whatever God is moving, whatever God has laid on your heart, I pray that you will come as we're going to sing hymn number 486. Lord, here I am. Come as we sing this morning.